Well, the first thing we should address was how to recognize paleosols, and it's not always an easy task. So I've written down a few of the characteristics which we should look at in order to define a soil as a paleosol. Pedalities is structural elements which are typical for soils. Relict for rock fabric, again, from the pale material. Cutens, oriented clay, which are typically pedogenic features. Slicknesites, again, pedogenic features. Biogenic features, like organic remains, which can sometimes be observed. Root channels, quite obvious when we see root channels. And quartz in coarse fractions, that is important in basaltic soils because normally basalt does not contain quartz. So if we see quartz in the soil, it means that the soil had been sometime exposed, probably to aeolian action, which had introduced some quartz. Here I've listed up a few of the well-known incidences of basalt-derived paleosols. If you have a look at here at this column, you see that they span nearly all the life span of Earth's existence, from the Precambrian up to recent and pre-recent. What is remarkable is that we have also submarine paleosols, which have been brought to light by the DSDP, deep sea drilling project here down, and in places where we would not have expected them. For example, near to Iceland, paleosol, which is close to an oxysol and which actually can be interpreted as, you know, some time of tropical conditions. Okay, so we shall go quickly, very quickly, through some of the most important features of these paleosols and start with the early Precambrian. And as you see, the problem where paleosols come in is the evolution of atmospheric oxygen and the great oxidation event. To put it very briefly, in a subject where there has been a lot written and discussed and lots of controversies, is what was the atmosphere during the Precambrian? Was it low in oxygen or was it high in oxygen? And there are the proponents who claim that this atmosphere is very low in oxygen, containing maybe one-tenth of what the present level of oxygen is, up to about 2 billion years ago, when suddenly the oxygen level rose, some say abruptly, others say gradually, to present levels. And this event of change in oxygen level is called the Great Oxidation Event. So where do our paleosols come in this controversy? Very simple. Again, to put it briefly, we have got redox-sensitive elements in soils. If the atmosphere was low in oxygen, there was a reducing environment, and these elements, particularly iron, were divalent, were in a mobile state, and were removed up to a point where the oxidation set in, where they were oxidized and were stabilized and stayed in place. So that's the proponents of this theory of iron mobility as a sign for the oxygen, as an indicator of the level of oxygen in these early Precambrian times. And the most important proponent is Holland and Young, who claim it to this very day. And there are two very famous paleosols, ancient paleosols, which are brought to demonstrate this thesis. One, here we can see actually the essence of this theory. The age is from 4.6 to present in billions of years. And you see low origin of life here, very atmospheric oxygen here. And you see very low levels up to about 2.2 billion years ago, where it started to rise. This is spelled the oxygen level compared to the present level, to our present levels. Okay. So the first profile is a HECPOD, Paleosol in Botswana. Here is a location which is not very important for our purpose near Botswana. What is important is to point out that this profile consists of two principal zones, the chloride zone and the sericide zone here. Sorry. Here the sericide zone and here the chloride zone. Why are they important for our purpose? Because the sericide zone is a zone which is depleted in iron, and the chloride zone is a zone which has been enriched in iron. And here we see some geochemistry which shows the development of the soil, actually to prove that it is a soil where weathering had taken place. And you can see here the depletion in calcium versus titanium, sodium versus titanium, as in every proper soil. Here, but here that's important to see the ferrum versus titanium. You see that there is a sort of depletion in the sericide zone and an accumulation in the chloride zone. That's important for our discussion. Zone of depletion and zone of accumulation. The next ancient paleosol is from Australia. Again, not very important for our purpose in Western Australia, in this area here. Again, a similar paleosol with a sericide zone and a chloride zone. Here we have again ferrum, and again a similar phenomenon, ferrum versus titanium, ferrum being mobile, titanium not being mobile, a depleted zone in the sericide zone and an accumulation in the chloride zone. Again, the profile as it is. Again, geochemistry, we shall not go in because in 15 minutes we cannot all cover it. And again, a similarity to present-day laterites, as they call it, oxysols, as we call it, with regard to groundwater and the movement of reduced iron in the groundwater. Now, here we have these models of oxygen evolution, and taking into account the iron accumulation, here the atmospheric oxygen, and we see here a rise in atmospheric oxygen around 2 billion years ago. Again, similar model, paleosite-derived model. What I want here to point out, this is Ryan Holland, the proponent of this theory, that Ohomoto disclaims. He says that actually oxygen levels had been always very close to the levels today. Now, what speaks against, very briefly, against the theory of the use of paleosols to prove that oxygen levels had been low? There are three main reasons. One reason is that possibly these paleosols had been formed by hydrothermal solution. No weathering, just hydrothermal solutions which are reducing. And when you have a hydrothermal solution, you lose, you have reducing conditions, of course, and you lose iron. So no reference to oxygen levels. The second is that there may have been decomposition of organic matter, formation of acid, and this acid had reduced the iron. Again, no reference to oxygen levels. And the third is these paleosols actually are decapitated. A horizon with lots of iron is missing. You know, it happens very often, missing horizon, and this horizon contains lots of iron. So there is no theory about a depleted soils with a depleted iron. It has been in place, but it has not been found. Okay, so the controversy is still raging. Holland is still maintaining what he maintains, and since last year, maybe has changed his mind. I don't know. Last year, he had not changed his mind. Okay, so this is where paleosols come in to determine oxygen levels in very ancient paleosols. Here you see a retention factor. I mean, retention factor of iron, and it shows again, you see here the retention factor is low, meaning there is low iron, and then around 2.2 billion years ago, the retention factor rises because of the great oxidation event, Alice Holland. Now we go down, the time scale comes closer, and the emphasis changes. What is the emphasis now? The emphasis now is interpretation by using geochemistry and mineralogy, particularly clay mineralogy. Taking, for example, Israel, early Jurassic Paleosol, always, of course, basaltic Paleosol. Now, we compare it. We compare the clay mineralogy of the early Jurassic Paleosols with that of a modern basalt-derived vertisol. The basalts are very similar. So what may have changed was can be interpreted as climate, maybe also landscape. Well, but let's suppose it was merely climate. So you see that the paleosols were richer, for example, in this case, in kaolinite, indicating a slightly more moist climate at that time compared to the present one. Late Triassic Argentina, Tabor and his associate, is he here maybe? No, because he should have been given a paper. In Argentina, what does he bring in the way of interpretation? Well, first of all, the profile here, we see the slicken sites. So I brought this to show that these very prominent slicken sites are found in the paleosol and indicate a vertisol, which is confirmed also by the XRD, which shows that the soil at that time, the paleosol, now the soil at that time was a vertisol compared to present-day soils, which are different. Lower Cretaceous paleosol Negev Israel. This is a paleosol in the Negev. The climate is absolutely desert, 50 millimeters of rain. And here you have a paleosol which is composed of kaolinite and iron oxides, indicating a, well, very humid climate at that time, Cretaceous. Now, a lot of work had been done by Sheldon in mid-Miocene Columbia River basalt. Here are the locations, here are the profiles. We shall not go into detail. Merely what I wanted to say is that Sheldon, here you have him, worked out formulas for the interpretation calculation of medium atmospheric temperature, and that is the formula, and also medium atmospheric precipitation. Here is a formula using mostly, we shall not go into it details because I have no time, geochemical parameters, in to put it simply, leaching factors of the easily leachable elements, sodium, potassium, calcium versus aluminium, to put it very briefly. And from this, he drew maps of the payoff map of precipitation and temperature during this time interval between 15.4 and 16 million years ago, and in both cases, with increasing age, there is an increasing in precipitation and an increasing temperature. Also glaciation, here he put it into a table, paleoclimate, using the formulas which I pointed out before. Okay, late Pleistocene Israel, I don't want to leave that out for obvious reasons. here we have the Eastern Galilee, the Lake of Tiberias, the Golan Plateau, a big volcanic province. And in that, we have lots of paleosols. Here we have, again, like this one. Here it has calcium carbonate accumulated. And here we have a nice paleosol in between basalt flows from about 700,000 or 800,000 years ago. Now, what is significant here? Just watch the upper portion. Here we've had this phenomenon of friction, which you may have heard of. So now what is this fritting or baking effects, shrinkage, cracking, reddening, dehydration, hematitization, heating. Now, the significant, well, it had been created by the basalt, the liquid basalt flow rolling over the soil. And what is amazing, in fact, is that there had not been more drastic changes, for example, in the mineralogy. No changes except hematite instead of goethite, which is amazing because we would have thought that, for example, kaolinite, which decomposes at 550, 600 degrees, would have been destroyed. It did not, which led me to assume that temperature had been below 400 degrees Celsius. Why? I have an explanation, but there is no time to try to explain it. Now here we have got relationships between precipitation and of modern soils, modern basalt-derived soils, and cation exchange capacity in different smectite cation exchange capacity. And again, DTA of paleo soil versus recent soil, these are Pleistocene soils, soils which had formed a few hundred thousand years ago. Again, these are diffractograms which compare modern soil with ancient, with paleo soils, again, from a few hundred thousand years ago. This is trying to put the portion of kaolinite, versus precipitation in the time span of between 5 million years ago and recent, which is more or less successful. And here again, the iron oxide contents, which are also related to precipitation, more free iron content in the soils. So with that, I think I shall finish and briefly read the summary. Basalt-derived paleosols occur all through geological record. Their identification is not always straightforward. Precambrian paleosols are used in the controversy on the evolution of oxygen in the late Archean atmosphere. Very low oxygen levels before 2.2 billion years ago and dramatic rise in levels thereafter. Ferrum geochemistry of these paleosols serves as an indicator for reducing versus oxidation conditions and by proxy for oxygen levels. In younger paleosols, mid-Biocene, geochemistry, weathering indices are used to estimate medium atmospheric precipitation and medium atmospheric temperature. And finally, in Pleistocene paleosols, emphasis is on clay mineralogy as compared with that of modern soils for assessment of paleoclimate. With establishment of more accurate climate-clay relationships, more precise paleoclimatic information will be derived from paleosols. So that's for the future. Thank you for your attention.